What a fantastic song. Our scripture for this morning's sermon to you young ladies is 1 Thessalonians 3, 11 through 13. So it might sound familiar to you, okay? And I wanted to include verses 11 and 13 because all of that is part of a prayer from Paul to these new believers in Thessalonica. And we'll read that. It's on the Pew Bible on page 1839. This is what the word of the Lord says. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. This is the word of the Lord. So I think in order for us to have a better understanding of what your theme passage is for Gems this year, it would help us if we understood the relationship between Paul, the one who wrote this letter, and the church in Thessalonica. If we read in the book of Acts, we learn a little bit about Thessalonica. Paul was there for a few months, but he got ran out of town because people were starting to get angry about this gospel message being preached. But even in that short time that he was there, this church popped up. This church came out of, it was the fruit of his work of preaching the gospel there in Thessalonica. And it's important for us to understand that there were other places that Paul went to on his missionary journeys where he stayed for years. But in Thessalonica, he was only there for a few months. And that helps us when we read these letters, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, that Paul kind of had a concern for these believers. He was concerned that maybe he wasn't there long enough to teach them what they needed to know. He gave them the essentials. He talked to them about the gospel, but he wanted to make sure that they were rooted and grounded in their faith. And so he sent Timothy, his friend, to go and visit them and report back to him what Timothy could find out about these believers, how they were doing. And Timothy came back and he gave a report, and it was a very good report. And Paul then decided to send this letter to say, I'm so happy to hear that you are growing in your faith, that even the people around you are hearing about the love that you have for them. And he wanted to teach them a few things that they had concerns about as well. For instance, some of the people among them were passing away. They were dying. And Paul didn't have enough time to teach them, well, what happens when we're believing in Jesus Christ and we pass away before Christ returns? And so Paul kind of wanted to comfort them. He has a very parental relationship with these believers. He even calls himself in the vein of a mother and a father. I want to care for you like a mother. I want to care for you like a father. And so that's kind of the nature of this letter here. And oftentimes, Paul in his letters would be riding along, telling them all these things, and then all of a sudden he would just break out into prayer. You know, kind of like when you're watching a musical and all of a sudden they break out into song, and you're like, this would never happen in real life, right? They're just going to break out in song. But Paul would do that in his letters. He would all of a sudden just transition into a prayer because he's so overwhelmed by the love of God. He's so overwhelmed by just the beauty of God and his care and concern and love and passion for the people he's writing to. He would just break out into a prayer while he's writing to them. And that's what we see here in 1 Thessalonians 3, chapter 3, verse 11. Is that it's the middle of a prayer that Paul has for the believers. And it's interesting, though, that when you read, some people call the first letter to the Thessalonians the letter of friendship. And when we look into the deep care and love that Paul has for these believers, we can see why. We see that in this first of two prayers found in this letter, Paul is known to do this. And what we see here in this prayer, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 through 13 is a very good model, a very good example of a pastoral prayer. And seeing us today is Gym Sunday, and we as a church are seeking to encourage you young ladies in your faith. I kind of want to stick with that same spirit as your theme verse this year and in the same vein as this caring prayer that Paul had for the believers. And I pray that what Paul desired for the Thessalonian believers, you would see is the same thing that we desire for you as a church and your counselors desire for you. I want you girls to feel like we as a church are praying this prayer for you in the same way Paul prayed it for those Thessalonian believers so long ago. And what we see in this prayer is Paul wants these believers to know three things. He desires that God would grant them, as these new believers, that he would grant them a fullness of faith, an anchor of hope, and an overflow of love. Faith, hope, and love, right? That's a popular theme in the scriptures. It's a popular triad of Christian values, and it is a popular theme of this very letter. It bookends the letter. Faith, hope, and love does. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 says, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Paul ends the letter in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So Paul wants to get this message across, faith, hope, and love to these believers. And we want to do the same thing for you today. Let's first look at fullness of faith. Paul is praying to God that he would grant these believers a fullness of faith, okay? And we see that in verses 10 and 11. And I'm going to read verse 10 as well because I think it ties into this. Paul says in verse 10, night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith. And then he goes into his prayer. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus clear the way for us to come to you. He was desiring to come and visit the church again. And he was desiring to bring with him a blessing of faith, an encouragement. And what does he mean by this? Supply what is lacking in their faith. What is Paul saying here? Well, there's a clue that we have in the letter of Romans, too. In the letter of Romans, Paul desired to go and to visit them and to see them as well. And he said this in chapter 1, for I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. Paul here has a fatherly concern for these young believers, and he desires that they would be strengthened in their faith. The Apostle Peter had the same desire for those he was writing to in 1 Peter. He said, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Paul desires that these new believers would be strengthened in their faith, grow in their faith. We're also told that Christ has done something for the church so that we may do this. In the letter to the Ephesians, Paul says, Christ has given the church the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to matureness, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, and deceitful schemes. So what we see here is that God has given us people in our lives to encourage us in our faith, to grow in our faith. And how is this done? How do these people encourage us to grow in our faith, to have a fullness of faith, to supply what is lacking in our faith? Well, your faith reaches towards fullness as you grow in your understanding of God's word, as you see him in the scriptures, see how he has acted in faithfulness in the past, how he's kept his promises, how he saved his people from their sins. And then when you look at that and you see that, you trust in him more and more, and you grow in the fullness of your faith. And Paul's prayer here begins with a request that the Father and Son would use him to mature and strengthen these believers in their faith. Your gym counselors and us as a church pray to God for you for the very same thing, that he would use us all to help you grow in your faith and strengthen in your faith as believers every day as you experience God's faithfulness. The second thing we're going to look at is that Paul desired that God would grant these believers an anchor of hope. And we see that in verse 13. Now, at this moment, I'm skipping verse 12 and going ahead to the end of Paul's prayer for thematic purposes. And I want to end with love to illustrate a point. So we've seen how Paul prayed for these believers to have fullness of faith. Now let's see how he pointed them towards their anchor of hope. And Paul ends his prayer here with the end, which is really just the beginning. He wants to direct these believers' thoughts toward their glorification, the consummation of their holiness, and the completion of their sanctification. That is the end of their Christian lives. That we're all striving towards something here. That we're all reaching towards something here. That there's a goal that we're heading towards, right? Because as Christians, this promised end should give us hope. And this is what he says in verse 13. May he strengthen, that is God, may he strengthen, or Jesus, may he strengthen your hearts that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones or his saints. See, we don't only need faith, but faith should produce hope, as Paul tells us in Romans 5, verse 2. Through him we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So faith gives us hope, right? And what makes this promised end the anchor of our hope, this promised end that Paul says, I pray that God would bring you completely before Jesus Christ on that day. Well, because our glorification is our completed state, our final state, our holy state, our being made perfect and without sin comes. That's when we see Jesus face to face. 1 John 3:2, beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews tells us of this wonderful hope in the promises of God, that this Christ who has become our surety, our promise, who is our perfect high priest, has secured our redemption and now sits at the right hand of God the Father, praying for us, interceding for us. And the writer to the letter of Hebrews says this in Hebrews chapter 6. We have this as a sure and steadfast anchor of the soul, a hope that enters into the inner place behind the curtain in the Holy of Holies, where Jesus has gone as a forerunner on our behalf. He has gone there before us on our behalf. This anchor of hope that Jesus Christ would be seen face to face, that Paul was trying to communicate to these believers, should work in you and us all to desire to grow in godliness, to be without blame, hearts blameless in holiness, as Paul says in our scripture today. That's why John doesn't just say, we're going to see him and we're going to see him face to face, but in John 3, he also says, beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as God is pure. This growth in holiness is something that God works in our hearts, of course, through the encouragement of others and through us going into his word. But it's also something that God calls us by Jesus Christ to strive for and to pursue. That's why Paul told the believers in Philippi, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And your counselors and all of us at this church pray this for you as well, that God may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. And lastly, an overflow of love, that God would grant these believers an overflow of love, which we read in verse 12. May the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. I leave love for the last, not only because it is your theme for Gems this year, but because love is what ties both faith and hope together. Remember that we talked about the triad of faith, hope, and love. Well, what does Paul say about them? 1 Corinthians 13:13. So now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Faith and hope are nothing if they have not love. Paul would say they are a clanging cymbal. Our Lord and Savior taught us this when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment of the law of God? And we read it earlier. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus Christ says, on these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets. You see, there's a reason Paul desired that these believers would experience the love of God. Because Paul knew that experiencing, receiving the love of God in Christ Jesus would be the fountainhead of faith and hope, would be the place that faith and hope would pour out of, the source of all the fruits of the Spirit. He prayed that God would fill them up with his love till they were overflowing. Because Paul knew that all true believers will exhibit love for one another. Our Savior himself said to his disciples, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Paul desires that the love of God would fill them up so much that it would overflow into love for one another. That is, fellow believers. That is, fellow Christians, the church. But Paul prayed that it wouldn't stop there, but would then overflow into love for all people. Love for the lost. Those outside the faith. Those outside the church. And Paul puts himself forward as a practical example as the way they should express this love, because he loved these believers before they were Christians. And he loves them now that they are Christians. He loved them when they were lost by coming to them and sharing the gospel with them and risking his life. And he loves them now that they are believers and are seeking their good. Your counselors and us as a church pray for you today the same thing, that the Lord would make you increase, overflow, and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you. That's what our desire is. Our desire is that you, as young girls in the faith, would be built up in your faith, that you would increase in your faith, that you would learn to look to the anchor of your hope, Jesus Christ, that you would find God in his word, and that you would experience the love of God by seeking him yourself and by experiencing his love from the counselors that you have and your parents and those around you. That is our desire. We desire the same thing that Paul desired for the Thessalonian believers, that you would be strengthened in your faith, that you would look to the anchor of your hope, and that you would overflow in the love of God. And I want to end this morning with another encouragement, another encouraging verse that I just want to express personally and as a church to you young girls, that you would, I pray, feel this love and care that we have for you, and the enjoyment that we have to being able to have a part in your life and the way that you're growing in your relationship with Jesus Christ. It is a wonderful thing. And I'm going to end by reading Philippians 1, verses 8 through 11, which says this: "For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen." Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would continue to work in the lives of the girls at gyms. We pray that you would pour out your love upon them, that they may tangibly experience the love that you have for them in your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, that they may truly know that you love them so much that you are willing to send your Son, Jesus Christ, to become man, to put on flesh, and to live a perfect, holy, and righteous life, and to voluntarily go to that cross, and to die upon that cross, and to receive the wrath and the punishment against sin that we all rightfully deserved. And that by your strength and power and might, resurrect Jesus Christ 3 days later by his own power, forever conquering sin and death, that these young girls may know that there is a God, the one true God, who loves them and cares for them and desires that they be in a wonderful and beautiful relationship with him through Jesus Christ. And we pray that we as a church and as a gents program may continue to encourage them in that, to be for them disciples whom they can go to when they have questions, concerns, pain, struggles, that they may continue to walk in the path of faith, knowing that whatever may come, God, you are always there, and God, you are always loving them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.